Right now, we are joined by she herself, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Well, that's it. Good night, everyone.
Good night, George. You're supposed to say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. You're supposed to say good night. I'm supposed to say good night. Or
Gracie,
one of us is supposed
George.
To say good night, Gracie. Oh, my God.
I'm confused.
We're all confused.
Look at that segue.
Yeah.
Not the kind that you'd ride on.
No. We had that conversation.
That was also confusing.
That was also confusing. All right. So we're talking about earlier today with Kristen Smith, we were talking about back to school and the fact that we're all changing our schedules and everything is creating confusion. It certainly created confusion on Monday because the buses were going every which way and students were going every which other way. So that was an issue.
And then, of course, my favorite, I really wanted to be like Estes Hill, maybe not a kindergartner, because the kindergartners are, you know, they're just sweet and special, like a fourth grader or a fifth grader when you go
to
school the first day.
That's the sweet spot right there.
And the power goes out.
And the power goes out and they let you out.
11?
Yes.
It's confusing.
Oh, God.
And it's, so, right, kindergartners would be very confused.
Kindergartners, yeah. Well,
fifth
kindergartners
graders are like, yeah.
Do they, okay, now I'm gonna show my ignorance. Do they still have half-day kindergarten or is it all-day kindergarten?
It's full-day kindergarten, but they do a delayed start.
Okay, that's right, that's right.
So they start like a day or two
I'm still
after,
like
or they like half the class.
Yeah, I'm in my head about that because when I was like in school, it was half-day kindergarten. Garden, so.
See, I had full day, and when we lived in Kansas, they had half day there, and I was like,
right.
"What do you?" I mean, I was kind of looking forward to the kid going off to kindergarten.
Right,
and they were like, "It's half day." I was like,
Oh, good Lord!
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And I know like hundreds of people had this issue at Estes Hills, like being a parent and being like, "Oh, finally, I get to send the kids
the Bloody
to
Mary
school."
Taking a nap,
exactly, and then
no,
the phone
no,
rings.
You're not.
Yeah, there's no Netflix involved at this point.
And I will say the Brown house, it is utter chaos and confusion.
Yes.
My older one is starting middle school and the
Lord.
Binders and the bags and the rules and the folders and the homework.
Nice.
And then the younger one, there's just a fog of confusion.
Yes.
All over our household.
How is everyone handling back to school?
Well, it's really interesting at the library.
Right.
Because we're still pretty much just as busy, but the time shifts. So in the summer, we're busy as soon as there's always people waiting, but we're busy all day long.
Right.
And then like once school starts, there's a drop off during the day. So you're back to still a lot of seniors, retirees, a lot of freelancers, entrepreneurs, people who work on their own.
Right.
And of course the youngest set, but then about now, about 3:34, the massive influx of students, teachers, learners, tutors, tutees comes in. So
absolutely.
It's an interesting shift there. The sort of the midday is a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
And then chaos ensues.
Afternoon and into
it's
the
great.
Evening.
It's great.
Right?
I love it. I love it. But it's interesting to sort of follow the calendar year with the library.
Interesting. All right. So we're talking about confusion today, and we've got books related to confusion. Is that what I...
Were you confused about the prompt?
Yes, I was confused about the prompt.
I got like four or five things, Matt.
I got three things. They're all going in three different directions, taking the topic and going a whole bunch of different ways. You have brought visual aids.
Mine was almost confusion, talking books, the all nonfiction edition, but I threw in a fiction book.
You threw in one fiction book. All
Don't
right.
Look
no,
at my
I already
books,
looked
Aaron,
at the title.
Cheating.
I'm not, I didn't see the
it's
ones
back to
on the
school
bottom.
And you're already cheating.
Yeah.
I think I got through
of
the first
course.
Time. Of course. Okay.
Kids don't follow my lead. Don't cheat. It's bad. But
do not cheat.
All right.
Okay.
Now I can see what's the back of the book
just
there.
Put
There's
my,
no way.
Put my purse on there. Hey, I'll tell you one thing that's not confusing before we get to talking books.
Oh,
that was a terrible segue.
This is going to be a plug.
It's a shameless plug. What's not confusing is how awesome our Friends of the Library group is.
Oh, that's true.
And this isn't confusing. This is mind-blowing. The number of books they have. It's mind-blowing. I don't know if that's confusing or not.
It might be.
Not this weekend, but next weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Here we go.
It's their big book sale, and this one's, like, really big, like, gigantic. It's the biggest book sale ever, and what's mind-boggling is the number of books that come in.
One of these days, I want you to come in and be like, they got a little book sale happening.
Right. Not much. be like 2 hours.
Everyone is like, this is the biggest
it
one
is.
Ever.
This one is bigger. Like, I think they normally, I don't know, I'm going to make up some number. They normally have like 600 boxes of books.
Yes.
They have like 1,000 boxes of books.
How close are those numbers to the actual numbers?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
I don't know. But it's huge. It's huge.
Oh,
Y-U-G-E, huge.
No, don't use that word.
It's not confusing how awesome they are, how huge
yes.
this is. And so we'll talk about that more next week. But
I'm excited about
mark
it.
Mark your calendars next
Friday,
weekend.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week.
Friday is members only. Join at the door. It's super cheap. It's a great way
right.
to support. And then Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, is the bag sale,
the bag
which
sale.
Is a great deal. But there's going to be, it's an amazing number of books.
I love it. All right. So
speaking of books.
Books about confusion. What do you got?
Okay. So the first one,
uh-huh.
I threw out this topic and then I was like, what am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
So I said, I'll put in the word confusion or confused in our catalog.
Okay.
And see what it spits out. This one I have not read, but I really want to, and I now have a hold on it.
Ooh.
It is a book called Born Confused.
All right.
And because I was thinking, well, what people are confused about their sexuality,
right.
about their gender,
right.
about all kinds of things. This is one where it is a young adult novel. The author is, I don't know, her name I'm not going to try and pronounce it.
Okay.
Because I would botch it. I'll try. Tanuja Desai Hedayar.
Okay.
That sounds good,
I
right?
have no reason to believe you're wrong.
Yeah. So it's a young adult novel, and it's about a Indian American girl. So
okay.
her parents are Indian. She's raised in New Jersey. She's coming of age. And it's all about East-West culture, teenager coming of age. Very conservative, traditional parents.
Right,
she
right.
wants to do all of this. And it's not, it's just an interesting framework of Indian American, not Native American, Indian from India.
Right. I like it. Okay.
Thing. It sounds very, very good. And it's called Born Confused.
I love it. Okay. Cool.
The rest of mine are nonfiction that I've actually read. So
okay,
there
awesome.
We go.
So I went with a few different ones, a few different directions. The first one is a story about people who, for whatever reason, are confused. I was looking for sort of surrealistic literature or like uncanny literature where things happen and you don't understand why, and neither do the characters. And I haven't really talked about short stories very much.
Mm,
we always talk
mm-hmm.
about like novels or nonfiction books, but there's this great short story by Gogol, the Russian writer
uh-huh.
from the 19th century, called The Nose, about, I'm not going to give away the rest of the plot, but a man wakes up one morning, and this is all set in St. Petersburg, Russia. Man wakes up one morning, and his nose is gone. It's just gone. He doesn't
and
have
that
it.
That happens.
It happens,
right?
right?
We've all been there.
No idea what happened to it. No, like, he didn't do anything. He doesn't remember losing it. He doesn't remember doing anything that would lead to it being lost. He just wakes up one morning with no nose. What's going on? Meanwhile, all the way across town, another man wakes up. He goes downstairs where his wife is making him like a baked egg thing for breakfast. And they pull it out of the oven, and there's a nose in it. How
Nobody
did it
saw
get
that
there?
Coming, right?
Right. No idea how it get there. Nobody knows.
When was this written?
1840
I was going to say he's 19th
something.
Century
writer. Yeah, 19th century writer. It's such a great story and like very matter of fact, almost sort of journalistic narrative telling of how this happened and how the two characters
the
sort of interact
the
with each other.
Did the nose and its owner get reunited, or can you tell
you're
me?
You're gonna have to read the story and see. It's a short story. You can read it
right.
in like less than an hour. It's really
the
good.
The Nose.
It's The Nose by Gogol. It's one of the great short stories ever written, and deservedly so. So
awesome.
That one.
Which makes me think of, this is not on my list, but I'm uh-huh. going to segue, or
Ooh.
Segue. No, it's segue.
Yeah.
I'm not confused about how you pronounce that, right?
Seg.
I just lost it. Oh, that makes
yes.
me think of Kafka.
Oh, right.
Metamorphosis. Like, right?
Yes.
If you woke up in the body of a bug,
right.
you would be confused.
Yeah.
And if you have never read the graphic novel version of it, there's a fantastic
oh, that's right.
graphic novel version of the Metamorphosis.
I was in the second reference this this show to my past in theater. When I was in college, I was in the theatrical adaptation of Metamorphosis, which gets referenced in the Mel Brooks classic The Producers as a play that is too good to be the worst play of all time. Where they're searching through the
yes.
they're searching through the stacks of bad plays trying to find the worst one of all time before they come up with Springtime for Hitler. Leo Bloom opens up one and says, "One morning, Gregor Samsa woke to find that he had transformed into a mysterious cockroach. It's too good." He throws it behind him.
Which, R.I.P., Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yes. Oh, right.
Rest in peace.
Yes. He was in so much.
He was in so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing a retrospective on the news that I'd forgotten. I think I talked to you once about the summer of HBO. My parents.
Yes, yeah,
would get
that was
Stir
recent.
Crazy
yeah. yep.
was a summer
oh,
of HBO
that's right.
movie.
Was that a Richard Pryor
Richard
movie
Pryor,
too?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember I must have been like 6 years old watching HBO, and it wasn't Stir Crazy. It was See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Richard Pryor plays the blind guy and Gene Wilder
yes.
plays the deaf guy, and they have to solve a crime or something
yeah,
like that.
They
like intrigue. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
He's great.
I was watching. I actually played on the air the day that they announced he passed away. I played World of Pure Imagination, but my favorite is still Young Frankenstein Putting on the Ritz.
Like, oh yes,
I could not even imagine being in the theater and seeing that scene for the first time, not knowing what was about to happen. Anyway,
alrighty. Other things that
You're
confuse
next.
Me.
Yes,
I get confused by economics.
Yes.
They I don't understand them.
That's fair.
Right?
I get confused by economics and people who talk economics.
Right. So that made me think of when you read books to understand complex things that confuse
right.
you. So I thought of Freakonomics.
Freakonomics, yeah.
Which is very popular. And then they came back and did Super Freakonomics.
Right.
Freakonomics was checked out, but I went up to the shelves and this one was not known to me. The same authors.
Mm-hmm.
Did another book. They've done several. They've done like Freakonomics for kids, I think. This is another very readable short book of essays. They call it Warped Suggestions and Well-Intended Rants, but it's called When to Rob a Bank. Because I've been confused.
Yes.
About
when to rob a bank. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I pulled this book because I love the title and I love the authors of Freakonomics. So When to Rob a Bank and 131 More Warp Suggestions and Well-Intended Rants.
I like it. So is it like the like game theory calculation of when it's actually worth your while to
That's
take the risk
chapter.
Of robbing a bank?
Yeah, this
okay.
is when to hit on 21.
Okay.
Let's see. There's all kinds of things.
I feel like
how
you should never
hit
on 21.
But. When high gas prices are a good thing.
Yes.
It's great. Again, it's, 10 to 15 page essays each. They're super fun and engaging. If you liked Freakonomics.
I really liked Freakonomics. That was a good book.
Yeah. So this one's super fun. And I just love the title.
When to Rob a Bank. All right. I like it. Okay. So I'm going to go with a poem for the next one, sort of staying in the short, you can
you.
Do it quickly vibe. This isn't a poem. This isn't one, like The Nose is a story about characters who are confused. This is one that if you read it, you will be confused because it is very confusing. It's longer. You can still read it all in one sitting, but it involves multiple languages. It involves a whole bunch of references to mythology and history and things like that. It's like James Joyce's Ulysses or Finnegan's Wake if you condense it down to poem form.
What is it?
The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
oh,
which
yeah.
I still love because, and I used to teach The Wasteland, and I would give it to my students because I'm evil, and I would tell them, don't even try to understand everything that's going on. Just feel it. Like, feel the emotion that it calls up in you. Just
like
all
it.
Of the imagery and what it does and the emotions that it evokes. And you get the sense of it. And then you go back and read the footnotes and, this is what it means. And this is what this French phrase means and how it connects over here and back again and what the literary reference is and all that. But it's such a great poem. I love it. And it's the most pretentious poem of all time,
right?
But it's me. I love pretentious stuff, so I'll go with it.
So, this is great because that makes me think of, like, maybe not pretentious, but just authors I don't read because I think that they are confusing or
yes.
I once tried to read them. So for me, that's Thomas Pynchon. That's Philip Glass is confusing, too.
Philip Glass is
Paul
confusing,
Auster, who wrote City of Glass, who's
okay.
got a new book coming out.
Gotcha.
Neal Stephenson. Gosh, people love him. He writes these giant Cryptonomicron and Neuromancer was William Gibson. Snow Crash.
Okay.
He's got a new one out. He writes really long. And they just, I don't know, maybe they just feel like work. But they confuse me. So there are some authors. Occasionally I'll try to pick them up and read them, but they're confusing.
They're tough, yeah. My parents are listening to this, so hello to my mom and dad. But my dad found a... what was it? It wasn't The Name of the Rose. It was the other one by Umberto Eco. Foucault's Pendulum. That was the one. Which is dense as all get out.
Yeah.
My dad loves books. He found this in the bookstore. He picked it up. He started reading it one day and, like, ended up just, like, falling in love with the first 10 pages and buying it. And, like, it was the most virtually incomprehensible book in the whole world. And he, like, gave it to me, I think. Tried to give it to me to read. But after... Like, and I did the same thing to him. This wasn't a confusing book. This was just a book that I hated, was Billy Budd by Herman Melville. And I, like, complained about it incessantly the whole time. It was like a 100-page book, but the whole time I was reading, I was complaining incessantly about it. And when I got done, I was like, Dad, do you want to read this? He's like, you know what? Sure, give it to me. He came back and was like, yeah, you're right. It was terrible.
Right? You just made it sound so great. I totally want to read it.
It's a classic. It's supposed to be like this great book by Herman Melville, but he didn't publish it. He left it in a drawer and they found it after he died.
Probably for a reason.
Published it. That's what I'm saying.
Right?
People still think it's a classic. I don't know why.
Okay, I got another nonfiction.
All right, you got
book.
It. Go for it.
From this century.
Okay.
I was thinking about confusion and thinking about a lot of books and movies writing and things about Alzheimer's and dementia and when our brains become confused.
Yes.
And I was looking, and I had, remember when this came out, there's a lot of memoirs and nonfiction writing about the experience of Alzheimer's and dementia, and both from the patient's point of view and the caregivers. This one is really different. It's called Life in the Balance, a physician's memoir of life, love, and loss with Parkinson's and dementia. The interesting thing about this one is this is a doctor who writes about it because he's been a practicing doctor and then he gets diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia. So he's writing about it from both.
And
he also, I believe in this one, I think his wife had passed away. So he was a caregiver and a physician, and now he's a patient. And it's a really interesting look at Parkinson's and dementia from all of those perspectives. So it's less clinical. It's more human scale and, very personal. It's a very good book.
What's it called?
Life in the Balance.
All right.
And the author is Thomas Grabois.
Okay.
Very good.
Wow. I'm going to have to check that out. All right. I've got one more, then I know you've got one more. I went with a mystery for my last one. I've been getting into Agatha Christie. I'm reading Murder on the Orient Express
as
we speak, but I haven't gotten through it, so I can't recommend it. Although I've seen the movie, so I know how it ends and who did it. So this is kind of just an exercise in reading the book. And Then There Were None is going to be my favorite Agatha Christie mystery that I've read. So I'm gonna recommend that one. Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Yeah.
I have not. I keep checking bookstores and libraries, and I haven't found it yet. But I will, and when I do, I will read it. I know. I've heard great things about it.
Our library?
I don't have a library. It's not my library. I live in Durham, remember?
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I said when I moved.
So this would be a sign of our enduring love and friendship.
Yes.
I could check it out on my card for you.
Wait, no, really?
You couldn't, like... Dog ear the
pages. Are we allowed to do all of this backroom dealing while speaking into live microphones on the air?
No, of course not. I've never let anyone use the
card. Yes.
I will say.
Oh, that House bill too is bad, isn't it? Let's distraction. Donald Trump is in Mexico. Why?
This is very interesting. I usually do not like it. Well, so authors die sometimes.
Yes.
They pass away, and yet they keep writing books.
Yes.
B.C. Andrews is one. There are many others. There's a British author named Sophie Hannah who has written several novels on her own and is very popular, but she is writing Agatha Christie novels.
Oh.
She's writing Poirot novels again.
Oh, nice.
And I keep seeing them come through, and I'm like, I don't know, but I've had like three people tell me they're pretty darn good.
Okay.
So there are more Agatha Christie novels, air quotes,
Agatha Christie novels
out there
okay.
To check out.
Cool. They do the same thing with the James Bond novels. With, yes. Like Jeffrey Deaver wrote one
and,
or two.
The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
Those.
Right, yeah. Right. All right, cool. Yeah, so okay. You've got one more.
Do you know this?
I don't.
Hyperbole and a Half?
No.
Okay, so.
I love the cover.
Oh, this is great. This is, I don't even know how my brain went to this. Perhaps the title of it. So this is a book that is an offshoot of a blog, Hyperbole and a Half, and the subtitle is Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened, which could have described the last couple of days with
yes.
The school year. Pardon me. Do we have a cough button?
We don't. No.
I just coughed.
You just coughed. Yeah, that happened.
I don't know that I've ever coughed on the air, but
well,
I had to
now
cough.
It happened.
Don't people have like a cough button? There should be a mute.
No, I'm actually planning on taking that and copying it and pasting it and turning it into a sound effect that I'll just play whenever something awkward happens.
Okie dokie.
Which is
an unfortunate situation and a flawed coping mechanism. I can't even talk now. Hyperbole.
I
and
forgot
a half.
Kristen Smith's name last hour.
Did you
so
really?
I started to say Susan Brown and I realized that you were coming on in an hour, so I paused for a second and Kristen was laughing at me. I'm like, I know your name, just stop.
You
give me a second to get back and buy it. This is what I do for a living. Okay, go
okay.
For it.
So there's this blog called Hyperbole and a Half
by right.
Ali Brosh, which is hilarious, really, really popular. It started out sort of her absurdist observations about her life. She has ADHD and some other sort of cognitive things going on, but she's very funny. She's a brilliant artist. She's a great writer. Her blog has spawned many internet memes. I think you would really like
her.
It's very funny stuff. And she has published, I think now, two books, but they're cartoons.
Oh, like graphic-like.
It's graphic-like. It's cartoons plus essays plus all of this other stuff. And they're just funny observations about whether life is confusing, absurd, if there's total chaos, all of it. It's a little bit hard to describe on the radio without having the book in front of you or the meme, but Hyperbole and a Half, it's a hoot. It is like laugh out loud. So if you're ever feeling confused about things, read this book and you will at least laugh, if not become unconfused.
Awesome. All right. I will check those out. We got to let you go, but Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, thank you so much.
Okay,
enjoy back
bye.
To school week.